Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association, coming to you today from the 2019 Compliance and Ethics Institute in National Harbor, Maryland. Joining us today is SCCE-HCCA board member and vice president Robert Bond, who, while he's not doing his duties with us, is a solicitor and partner with the firm Bristow's in London. Robert, thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you, Adam.
So we're going to tackle a subject that in a lot of ways is sort of demystifying. GDPR has had a huge impact on businesses in a large number of ways, and many are wary of the investigations, the effect it's had on conducting investigations, and fear that it will make it significantly more difficult. What are some ways, Robert, in which GDPR can make conducting an internal investigation more difficult?
Okay, Adam. Well, GDPR requires businesses to be transparent, fair, and proportionate in the way that they collect, process, store people's personal data. And so that, we see, is a challenge. It's a solvable challenge, but it certainly is one. The nature of investigations is that it's not always possible or indeed prudent to alert staff that they may be the subject of an investigation. So on the one hand, you've got, we can't tell the staff, and on the other hand, you've got GDPR saying that you need to be fair, transparent, proportionate, you need to give them information. So that's seen as a challenge. Also in the past, well-drafted employment contracts over in Europe have usually had inserted consent as a mechanism or a ground for that collection and processing of the data. But GDPR says consent has to be freely given and can be withdrawn at any time. So when again you look at that, it looks like there's an absolute barrier to investigations. But to be fair, that's not the end of it.
So there's more to it. So we're starting to get to my next question, which is there seems to be a lot of myths out there about GDPR and internal investigations.
Yeah, so there are quite a number of myths out there, of which the first is that you have to have consent in order to process people's personal data, period. You have to have consent to be doing the collection of information, the reviewing of emails of staff who might be the subject of investigations, and the answer is no, that's a myth. There's a myth that GDPR somehow trumps all other laws, and that's not true at all. So there may be some other good lawful legal reasons why you will be able to collect data during an investigation. There's also the myth that employees have absolute rights under GDPR. It's true that GDPR does give rights to individuals, like the right to know what is being processed about them or subject access. It's true that there is the right of erasure, but these are not absolute rights. There are other laws that may trump the right of the individual. So it's a myth that GDPR stumps or prevents investigations. So what we really need to think about is how do we actually put ourselves in the best position to carry out an investigation in the EU?
It's interesting, and I think, you know, obviously shows the need to understand both what the law is as well as what the other laws are, and truly where they intersect and where the overlap is and isn't, and what's real or just sort of common talk. Now, what should compliance professionals do to ensure that their investigations do not run afoul of GDPR?
Okay, so if your business is caught by GDPR because you either have legal entities in the EU or you're a US business that actively targets the EU through your goods and your services and so on, then you really need to understand that there are six lawful, or as one of my clients calls it, awful grounds for processing. of which consent happens to be one. But there's also contractual necessity. You might be able, therefore, to rely on what the contract of employment says. Or it could be that you have to carry out the processing in an investigation because some other law requires it. So there is the legal and administrative ground that you could rely on. But mostly, we're advising businesses to look at legitimate interests. In other words, that it is a legitimate interest of the business to carry out an investigation because it may be necessary to prevent corruption, fraud, anti-money laundering, etc. And you can't make up legitimate interest. You have to carry out a genuine assessment. So the regulators, and indeed GDPR, spell it out that you have to carry out a balancing test, that your legitimate interest to carry out the investigation and process personal data without consent does not override or overreach the rights of the individuals. And I think in most circumstances, when you do that analysis, which we call a legitimate interest assessment, you would be able to document that you believe your right outweighs the right of the individual. You also need to ensure that you keep a documented trail of the decision-making that you make, the methodology you apply in each and every case. You also need to think about whether your contracts of employment and your staff handbook need to be more transparent about the fact that you reserve the right to search emails on the server, on corporate devices, and so on, if it was necessary in the course of an investigation. You probably need to think about whether there's additional training that is required around how GDPR applies and what the rights of individuals are. And maybe your privacy policy needs to be, again, clearer about the fact that you don't just rely on consent. That there are these other lawful grounds that apply to you.
And I think you make, as you're doing this, it's a strong argument for something that's important throughout a compliance program is consistency. You know, to make sure that you are applying these principles consistently, that you are doing these balancing exercises consistently, and that you're avoiding any kind of a decision that may end up being difficult to justify afterwards. So that's an easy mistake to make, is sort of the ad hoc decision, well, we need this, without going through that exercise. What are some other common mistakes do you see businesses using when trying to conduct investigations?
Collecting more information than is necessary. Again, GDPR says that you not only have to have a lawful ground, but that the amount of data that you collect is necessary and proportionate. And there's always a risk that the team will hoover up absolutely everything. And then they may find that the data they've collected is actually unusable because it's toxic. Poorly drafted privacy notices or privacy policies that haven't covered some of those things that I mentioned earlier. A general lack of process. Do I think that there needs to be a proper plan as to how we carry out investigations when GDPR applies? Transferring the personal data that's been collected back to the Home Office without having in place some lawful mechanism to allow that transfer. So are we relying on Privacy Shield, or do we have to put in place what the EU calls their standard contractual clauses to protect the rights of an EU employee when the data then gets back to the US? And I would find it unusual that wasn't going to happen in investigations where it's driven by the US Home Office.
Now, you mentioned just now the whole issue of transferring data from Europe to the US. It's important to note that as much as it's important to watch GDPR, it's not the only regime out there at this point. What are some of the other privacy regimes that a compliance officer conducting an investigation needs to be mindful of to make sure they don't run afoul of additional restrictions?
Yeah, good point, Adam. And I suppose from the US point of view, everybody's focusing on the CCPA, the California Consumer Protection Act, particularly because for the first time, it's picked up that sort of GDPR language about the rights of individuals, about the need for more transparency and plain language notices. But as you say, it's not all about California either. State of Washington's got similar legislation. We hear that other states are looking at this. Only recently, a number of the big tech companies have called for a federal law that looks like GDPR. But then if you're a true multinational, you have to remember that Turkey has now got GDPR-style law with restrictions on data transfers, with subject rights. So has Brazil, so has Japan, so has Singapore, so has South Korea, so has Indonesia, so has Thailand within the last few weeks, South Africa, and the list goes on. What's important to note that they are very GDPR influenced. So if you have to stand back and you have to start revisiting your investigations process for GDPR, it is not an entire waste of time, because it's a good template for other parts of the world. And we're seeing this general sense of direction.
It's interesting. Much as the US federal sentencing guidelines has ended up serving as a model for what governments around the world expect out of compliance programs, it's interesting that GDPR may be doing the same, which does create difficulties for organizations, but it's still much better than having wildly different regimes around the world to contend with. Well, Robert, thank you so much for this insight. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA saying, I hope we are able to expand your compliance perspective.